One of the poems from the new work that you haven't sent me, or the recent work that you sent me and that you haven't read, I put a note on that one.
Ah, I love this. I once said to a fellow on the coast that if I had my way, if I had the leisure, I would crawl around on my hands and knees counting ants. And that came from Lou, actually, from Lou Welch. So you want me to read this?
That'd be outstanding.
Okay. God knows what's living in there. Big cats and bears aren't the only ones roaming the woods. Banana slugs cover a good deal of ground. Newts, horsehair worms, seek puddles, sometimes for 7 years before proper rain comes down to liberate them. Some species you never see. They live on the backs of termites. Ants milking aphids, colony of midges in tuna fish can, long river of large, maybe winged insects moves across grass carefully planted last year, moving from dug fir stump to stump. The stump grinder never finds them. They have gone far into dead roots, far under heedless feet. I saw that. I do not exaggerate. It was a river of insects. I don't know what they were, whether they were beetles or termites. They were big and black, and they were in this army on the march, and it was at least as wide as this. And I'm chugging across the yard, and all of a sudden I come to a dead stop because I almost stepped on them, and I'm watching this slowly moving river disappear into the ground on the other side of the yard. I've never seen it again. I don't know what it was, but to me, I think it probably was some kind of termite, and the stump got eaten up or too hot or whatever, and they moved.
You live in extreme southern Cascadia, and last night we quote-unquote, crossed the border.
Yeah, we did.
Into the next bioregion. Do you sense any difference between the bioregion to our south and Cascadia? Do you have any sense that the vibe is different here?
Oh, yeah.
Can you elaborate on that?
This is a place full of throwbacks.
Cascadia is.
I think so. Throwbacks to the hippies. Throwbacks to the settlers, throwbacks to the indigenous people. I think that the atmosphere here, which we may lose someday if, well, I don't know, with global warming, it might not happen, but I'm worried about losing it. Things are so much freer. Which is joyful in one sense, but the realization up here is you're on your own. And for me, it's meant you better make peace with your surroundings or are you going to be ground up to dust? I don't sense that down there. Or making peace with your surroundings always involved, you know, people, the layers of civilization. It doesn't involve that up here. And also, this is a place where nature is not a distinct entity apart from us. And that's very clear, and it goes back to you better make your peace or be ground to dust. Because obviously, they've been around a lot longer than we have.
Cascadia is named Cascadia in part because of the prevalence of water regularly falling down from above. And there's a connection between water and compassion in Buddhist tradition and other traditions.
Yeah.
Kuan Yin, the goddess of rivers, is one way of describing her. Do you think that the opportunity to be a compassionate person is easier here because of the prevalence of water?
I don't know quite. I'd have to think about that for a long time. It's an interesting correlation to make. I also think of so many people whom I've met who say in one way or another that the absolute most you can expect from another human being is enlightened self-interest. So there's a kind of fatalism that's around here. I know that there is an appreciation and understanding of water because most of us have had to make our own water systems, and it's readily observed and condemned and railed against people who come in here and use up the water. It isn't as matter of life and death the way it is in New Mexico or Arizona. I mean, the hippies went down there and they didn't pay any attention to the water allotments and people got killed for it. I don't think we have that up here. But things are changing now. I mean, look at this. This is October, almost the end of the month. And it's dry. That's not true of 45 years ago when I first came here. Well, 45 years is maybe a long time. It doesn't seem like a long time, but 45 years ago when I first came, we had some kind of rain every single month of the year, and the summer rains were lovely. They would last maybe a couple of days, and they would be so warm, you could throw off all your clothes and go running around, take a bath. It was that lovely. And you also have trees, redwood and Doug fir mainly, who expire up to an inch and a half of rain every summer, just from the drip, and that's how they feed themselves. We live in a system that holds water because the redwoods, you know, are really a solid mat everywhere. They're all connected by the roots. It's like that, what is the giant fungus in Minnesota? It goes for miles and miles. Well, the redwood roots are the same way. They are... I like to think of things around here as folding your hands inside out like this, and you hold them, and your fingers are tight, but there are a few escape holes. And it seems to me that whether those escape holes are escape into danger, or whether those escape holes or escape into enlightenment, or into tragedy, or into whatever, I think depends on, I was going to say, what we're given. And I think I'd rather say that than some people's mantra, which is, well, you've chosen that way. Do we really choose? I mean, you know, this is who we are when we first came out of the womb. And it's determined by who your mother was and your grandmother and your father and his father.
I'm reminded of the strange life of Ivan Osakin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... So, I think Cascadia is one of the few, Cascadia and then along the top of the United States, just below the border, that whole section. Are the few pockets of true remoteness. You know, this place is just hard enough to get here to eliminate the people you don't want to see anyway. See, that we don't have the rain straight down the way we used to. You know, I mean, if anything obtains, they don't build them like they used to, it's going to be stronger and stronger and stronger. Good, they don't build them like they used to, because look what we've got now. But climate, as distinguished from weather, it just isn't the same. It isn't the same. And the fact that we could have a fire season year-round now.
Something wrong with that.
There's something very wrong with that. And California has had 100-year droughts in its history, has had fire after fire after fire. When I was a kid, we had fires. But they're, I don't know the difference. They're stronger, they're more all-encompassing, they're... It's serious, it's a problem.
I'd love to get a videotape of you reading that poem. I'd love to video it. Do you think that's okay? Because I see you with your altar here. I know you've read that before for the tape. But I think getting a video of you doing it would be useful.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to get a couple of pictures of this here. Okay. And I have it. And I'll start it when you're ready. And I'll focus. There we go. About like that. Is that okay?
Am I supposed to sit someplace?
No, here. That's fine.
Oh, okay. Lares et Penates. Buddha Bear, the Angel, the Cat. These three watch. Under their benevolent gaze, scorpions become docile. Mice stay outside. Spiders calmly take care of flies. Children cease squabbling. Men pick up after themselves. One must pay attention over long little years to the long line of little gods, ancestors in portraits, lithographs, shelved statues. They made us, they live with us. We are their children. We are their children. By the way, I wanted to tell you that quite some time ago, Frida Kahlo disappeared out of this house. I did have her. She was in a little shadow box with a jewel who was beautiful, the self-portrait, and somebody took her. Just.
That's bad Frida karma.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I think the people who did it, their karma's pretty moldy.